that really showed me it showed me God's hand in things, and family meeting was one of them. And after that family meeting, I had a class that asked this question. It's a business class, but I'm trying to take some of the lessons learned from that class, and it carries over into the rest of our lives. And the thing that this got, that I took from this, and that I took from the family meeting, and that really spoke to me, was this mission statement idea. And this idea of God's purpose for us, and why God did certain things the way that He did certain things, and in the order in which He did things. It starts with this scripture. My lesson starts with this scripture, I should say. Colossians 3:17. Whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. So that doesn't say, to me, it doesn't say in some things. It doesn't say that I get to choose which things. It says in everything, do everything, whatever I do, word or deed, that the Lord comes first in that I think of Him and what He has taught me and what He's trying to teach me in everything that I do, and that I give thanks to Him for those opportunities. So a little background to this lesson. This came out of this business class. And the presentation that we had to read was from a dean of students at a business school, but he was from a Christian school. And he was contrasting Milton Friedman. Now, Milton Friedman, around 1970, he was a Nobel Peace Prize winning economist. And he came up with this idea that the business of business is business. For profit. Everything that you do was for profit. Well, that makes it about self. And then not-for-profits took it, and the daily activities of businesses became all about this. Became all about the sole purpose of maximizing your investment to make for profitable returns for the stakeholders. And in business, that's mainly the shareholders that they're talking about. So this has become a focal point for business operations, maximizing shareholder value. And that's not really Christian. That's not really the way that we're designed to operate, is this maximizing shareholder value, maximizing our own personal return. That's not how we're designed. So there's implications beyond business for this. What purpose do we place in our daily existence? What role do we let God play in our every decision? Just like in Colossians 3:17. And where do we place God? Do we place Him first in everything that we do, thought, word, and deed? And it all comes down to, how are we following Jesus? Are we attempting to maximize the return of our own investment? Are we making it about ourselves and what we get back from it? Are we using our relationship with God and truly living to evangelize, glorifying Him in all that we do, thought, word, and deed? To understand this, we have to go back to the beginning, the very beginning, creation itself. So why did God create? He separated light from dark, but why did He do that? He had to have a reason. He separated the waters by making land. Separated the heavens and the earth. And then He filled it with plants and crawling things and fishes and great beasts and trees and plants and fruits and all sorts of things. But why did He do it? Why did He do it in that order? After He did it, He said, after He did each one of these things, He said, well, that's good. It was good. He knew the purpose of everything that He was doing, why He was doing it, and the order that He was doing it. He knew that the plants needed the water, that they needed the daylight, that the dark needed to cool the earth so that things could have a chance to not burn up and blow away. He created form out of formless in a purposeful order. And everything had a purpose and a specific design, and it was good. And on the seventh day, after he created all of that, he created us. And it was very good. And we needed all of that stuff that he created before that. That was our resources. He wanted a relationship with us, but he needed to equip us to sustain life with the resources that we needed to live. And it's not just the material things, but God knew that material things were required to sustain our lives. That we needed purposeful design of those material things to eat. And when we're eating fruits, it had seeds. And those seeds would return to the ground and they'd sprout up again. And the ground needed humans. Because God had not sent the rain, the ground did not need to be cultivated. But as soon as humans filled the earth, what did God need to do? He needed humans to cultivate the earth. And then he sent the rain to grow crops. Everything had a purpose in his creation, and it was very good. So it's all about equipping us with the resources we need to support our life and build in that relationship that he wanted with us. God's at the forefront leading our purpose. Putting God first means we keep our lives free from idolatry in all of its forms. Dear children, keep yourselves from idols. 1 John 5:21. So an idol is anything that replaces the one true God in our hearts. Just as Gideon demolished the altar of Baal and chopped down the pole in Judges 6:25 through 27. We too must tear from our hearts and actions anything that lessens our devotion to the righteous pursuit of God. Gideon built an altar to the Lord to replace idolatrous images. We are called to dedicate ourselves as a living sacrifice to God and in that way put him first. And that's in Romans 12:1. You'll see at the bottom there, I keep reminding myself from Deuteronomy 6:5 to love the Lord God with all of my heart and all of my soul and all of my might. That's one of those things that I keep in my mind. That's my 911 scripture that I go to. So what's the purpose of our business? And I'm not just talking about business. I'm not talking about assets and liabilities. I'm talking about our daily activities. Mind your own business, my activities, what I do. Well, first, it's to provide meaningful and creative work for people to do. God designed us to do work. Even before the curse, before the fall, we were designed to do work. We had to cultivate. We had to harvest. We had to use the resources that he equipped us with to support ourselves and be in relationship with him. Nothing was growing because God had not sent the rain yet. What good would it have done? The ground wasn't cultivated. The seeds wouldn't have been able to take root. They would have sat on top for the birds to eat. Number two, the resources he equips us with produces goods and service that enable communities to flourish. This is our relationship with one another. We all need one another. Whether we're buying it from the grocery store or the gas station or the sale barn or Rapid City or forbid paying for taxes for road maintenance. We all need to do something to support one another. Flourishing communities. So this is part of how we express our God-given identity. God has blessed us each with talents, skills, abilities, and uniqueness. We're not all the same. So whatever your talent or skill is, guess what? God's behind it. But he doesn't bless us with talents or skills just so we can get noticed or earn lots of cash. He wants us to honor him with those gifts. He wants us to be good and faithful servants with our talents. Now, how do we use our talents for him? In two ways. In two ways we do this. By being a blessing to others and by building his kingdom. All work is done for the relationship and for the return to the relationship. That's God's intent. That everything is circular, that it comes through the relationship. Capital, so our social capital, our tangible capital, our resources, everything that we make, grown through our business and activities, and almost exclusively through our business and activities alone, everything else draws on that capital that is created. Everything else draws on that relationship that we're created, benefits from that relationship with God. So, I'm not talking just about money here, although that's a part of it. The passing of monies for commodities and additional resources, it's a part of this. We all have to make a living. We all have to support things. And that's a good thing. That's part of God's purpose too. That's not at all what I'm saying, is that we shouldn't be making money and that we shouldn't be profitable. I'm talking about our life's activities and what we get out of that. And what it really comes down to is this. Even bank robbers, murderers, and cattle packers can tithe. How are we different? How do we differentiate ourselves from somebody who comes into the same building, puts in the offering plate the same, but they act differently outside the building? How are we different than that? And how do we make ourselves different than that? Because that's what God calls us to do, is to be different and above that which is in this world, separate and apart from what's going on in this world. And it's hard. It's a hard thing to do. So this is to say that your works are not meant to be an end to the means of supporting those who are really and truly doing God's work. It's easy to get up here and say, and I've done this too. Well, I give in the offering plate, and that's supporting somebody who's really doing God's work. And that's a good thing. But aren't we all supposed to be doing God's work? We're all supposed to be evangelizing. We're all supposed to be prophesizing. We're all supposed to be supporting one another in these relationships and bringing one another and building up the church and taking each other closer to God. Profits are a resource in that matter. Money is a resource. It's not the end. Creating flourishing communities that mimic the garden, sustainable, prepared, determined, stable communities that provide jobs. They provide opportunity for activities. They let our kids do sporting events. They let our church have people in the seats. They let our gas stations stay in business. They let our sale barn stay in business. And they let us continue to live here and do things. You see, it's not just about you or me or him or her, it's about all of us, collective community. What you do and what we do collectively means something to God, and we need to know that. It means something to someone else, too. We can make a big difference in somebody else's life by bringing them to God, showing them what God is. It's got eternal significance. So this mission statement thing, I kind of borrowed this from the family meeting in that pamphlet and condensed it a little bit, and I kind of borrowed it from the presentation from my class. But just condensing God's mission statement for us: provide opportunities for individuals to express their God-given talents in unique ways, therefore making their identity in the meaningful work and creative activities which are God-granted and purposeful for each of us to live in service to Him and to one another. So this has two aspects, an internal and an external aspect. The internal aspect is that this allows for people to strive for and realize their potential. We should want to achieve. We should want to do good work. We should want to produce good fruits. This allows us to use the talents that God has blessed to us. We should strive to use the talents of what God's blessed us for. Externally, this mission statement focuses on serving the greater good, living in perfect symbiosis with God, our resources, and one another by meeting each other's needs. So there has to be a purpose and a practice to a mission statement.
You can't have one without the other.
You can't have a mission statement without a purpose, and you can't have a purpose without putting it to practice. Otherwise, it's just words on paper or on a screen or in a notebook or whatever adage you want to breed. So this came up with this dean of this college. His name's Jeff Van Duzer. Really neat guy. He was a corporate attorney, and then he decided there was more to life, and he wanted to spread God's word in a place where he didn't feel like it was present, and that was the business world. And so he entered as the dean of students at Christian Business College to try and change this paradigm from maximizing return of shareholder value, which is being done. It's taken a lot of names, and unfortunately, there's a lot of people that use secular terms like corporate social responsibility or environmental social governance to try and describe what God has already described for us many, many times over and many years before the contemporary times. This is not a new philosophy. It's as old as God himself. So profit is like blood in a body. If blood isn't pumping through your body, we don't have to talk about your purpose because you're dead. Similarly, if profit isn't flowing through a business, we don't have to talk about a business's purpose because it's bankrupt. Few of us get up in the morning and say, "Today I'm going to pump blood through my veins. I'm going to circulate blood." Blood is important, but it's not our purpose. And similarly this way, neither is profit. And again, I'm not talking just about money. I'm not talking about profit. I'm talking about what returns to us from our daily activities, our business, the business of our lives. Profits are what's needed to enable you to do what you should be doing, which is to serve. In John 13, 34 through 35, Jesus teaches us the new commandment ushered in by his sacrifice to love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples. For if you have love for one another, then returning to John 13, 31 through 32, the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him, so that if God is glorified in him, then God will glorify the Son in himself. So that's kind of convoluted, right? But what does it really go down to? Jesus lived for the purpose which his Father set before him, and he carried out the mission which the Father set, which God set for him in service to us, which glorified the Father, which gave Jesus the glory in the highest to sit at the right hand of the Father so that we can then follow Jesus. It's that circular relationship, that cyclical idea of symbiotic relationship with one another, with Jesus, with God, and through one another, it all happens. Hopefully I'm making sense here. But there's some boundaries here. There's some limits and constraints. It's how we are to conduct our business. And these are laid out by God. Too often we fall into what else society is doing. Well, everybody else does it that way, or it must be okay because so-and-so did it, or they did it. But how we're supposed to conduct our activities are laid out in so many of the scriptural prophecies, commandments, and God's laws. Summed up, it means doing what is right with integrity and truth. Philippians 4, 8 through 9 is a good place to start. It says, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace be with you." So that's a long way of saying, again, in everything that we do, not just in this building, not just with the people that we know with this in this building, not just people that we know to be Christians, but in everything that we do, thought, word, and deed, and in our purpose and practice, that we put God first in that, first and foremost. Because it's about the relationships. First, it's about the relationship with Him. It's about the relationship with His creation, being good stewards, using the resources He equipped us with to continue to be lively and sustain that relationship. It's about the relationship with a partner. That's why God had man and woman, complementary talents. That's why we're all unique. That's why we're all different. We all have different talents. We all build each other up. We're all supposed to do different things. If we're all supposed to do the same thing, well, pretty soon we'd have pretty boring existence and we wouldn't have much to do because it would have already been done by the millions of people before us. So celebrate our uniqueness. Celebrate the differences that God made us with. Because with each other as a collective whole, that's really where the relationship flourishes. Flourishing communities. So our model of business, economy of resources, otherwise, what do we do with our capital? And that's in quotes because, again, I'm not talking just about money here. Be in relationship with Him. Work heartily for the Lord. And together we make the body complete. And again, Colossians 3:17 is the cement for those ideologies. Kind of my final thoughts here. Christian life is characterized by moment-to-moment selfless service. Service to God that flows from our love to Him and His created people abiding in Him. In all things, the believer trusts, obeys, and loves God above all else. So what's truly the bottom line? In business, in our lives, in our activities, and in the return that we want to see from our activities. It's about relationships. God created everything else so that we could be made in His image and likeness as stewards and consumers of His resources, which were purposely designed to sustain life and make relationships possible. The first and foremost important relationship is the one that God has with us and the one that He wants us to have with Him. In the garden, again, God learned it was not good to be alone, and so partnerships were created as a means for assisting one another and complementing each other's talents. Putting God first becomes easier when we take to heart the words, "For from Him and through Him and to Him all things. To Him be the glory forever. Amen." That's from Romans 11:36. So to sum it up, I took some of these secular ideas, just as I think all of us can take this misnomer of secular constructs, because when you really look, think about it, there isn't anything that's secular, because just like Solomon said, there's nothing new under the sun. And God created everything from the beginning. So even something secular, if somebody says they're not a believer or they don't do things in that manner, well, it still came from the creation. It's still the creation mandate. And it's in us to be above that secular idea or secularity and keep God first and foremost in our thoughts, words, and deeds. Does anybody have any questions? I know that was a lot. Okay. Thank you.